Verse 17, check it out. He says, look, who's sufficient for these things? No one really. And then he goes on to say, for we are not, and this is where you want to be. You want to be in this camp. For we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but of men of sincerity. So you don't want to be in this. We want to be in that first camp that I'm not sufficient, that I can't do this. There's nothing about me, Lord. You have to do this through me. I'll be a willing instrument for you, but that's it. The other side of that, Paul says, so you see the humility and the reliance on the Lord, but the other side is just the opposite. And he's contrasting that to those who are motivated not by glorifying God, but exalting themselves in the name of God. And that's a big deal. And as your pastor, as a preacher this morning, this is why I want you to wake up and understand this, because there's so much out there that is so wrong, right? That's coming into our lives, especially in the day and age we live in, and the access that all of you have to the different teachers and preachers and whatnot. There is so much out there where it's counter to the scripture. So this is a warning here too. He says, we are not like so many. Just stop right there when he says so many. If you're a little bit older, how many of you have heard the phrase, the hoi polloi? Right? Have you heard that, anybody? Yeah, Gary. The old timers here. The hoi polloi. That's the crowd. That's the masses. That's what's being used here. That's the Greek for this. When he says so many, the hoi polloi, there's no shortage of false teachers. It's not just a few. It's not just some over here and some over there, but many. There are so many. That's what Paul is saying. And as a matter of fact, and again, this is pretty scary, saying that most are these peddlers. And this is what you need to be discerning, guys. You really need. And this is why we want to teach you. This is why we do the Bible studies. This is why we preach it straight up. This is why we teach you. It's why we don't pull back, because you need to be able to discern right from wrong, false from truth. You know, what's accurate and what is not. You need that, because there's a lot of false teaching that will take your eyes right off of Jesus Christ. You go down another path, then you're going to end up before the Lord on the last day and say, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And I don't want you there. Right? That's the motivation behind this. So he's saying there's a lot of false teachers out there. And there's so many, so many. So many what? So many peddlers. He says, we're not like so many peddlers of God's word. Man, that's really bad. That's... Okay, first of all, check this out. A peddler, that word that's being used there is a present active verb. So that means that at this time, when Paul was writing it, there were so many false teachers, peddlers of God's word. There were a lot of them. It also means that there are peddlers right now. Okay, it's present active. Right now, today, there are a lot of false teachers out there, right? And they're like wolves, and they're devouring you. They're looking to take you away from Christ in their own way by kind of using Christ in Scripture. And it also means there always will be peddlers until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. So you need to be aware. You can't be taken in. You need to be discerning. Don't trust anyone completely. Okay, don't trust me. Insofar as we're biblical, yes, amen, praise God. But if there's something that I say that's not in line with Scripture, then you need to come and say, hey, Pastor, what are you talking about? You know, let me understand this. Explain this. Okay? I'm telling you that straight, because it's so easy to be taken off, and it's so easy to be taken in, man. You are sheep, for sure. And if you have a really strong teacher who wants to get over on you, he can, and he will, and they do all the time. Right? That's Paul's saying. Listen, we're not like so many. That word for peddler, generally it means a salesman, a salesperson. What's a salesperson do? And you see so much of this in Christianity today. You market. You market yourself. You market the church. You do this. You find out what people like, and then you cater to that to get something from them in return. So for profit. So basically, we're selling Jesus a lot of time by entertaining you, by telling you things that you want to hear, your itching ears want to hear, right? In the last days, they'll store up teachers for themselves. They're telling me what I want to hear. So I like you, but if you tell me what the Bible actually teaches and it doesn't set well with me, well, then I'm out the door. I'm gone, right? So that's a salesman. But here's the thing, and here's what you need to understand about what Paul's saying here. And in the word itself, there's a stronger connotation, not just a salesman. That's bad enough, right? That's bad enough because you're not getting it straight. But it means a con man, a common, one who deceives, one who misrepresents, one whose personal gain comes by tricking others, man, by bait and switch, by telling you what you want to hear, by promising everything and then leaving you empty. And that's what Paul's, there are a lot of peddlers then of God's word because they're using God's word, man. And that's such judgment coming on them because they're using God's word and the authority of God's word for their own ends, for their own means. They use the word in the authority of it to gain a following, to gain power, to gain fame, to gain wealth, to manipulate, to push an agenda, to promote a cause, whatever it is that isn't pure gospel, and they're taking you off the track and getting you off the path. And always, it's going to contain truth. It's going to contain some truth. That's what makes it so deceptive, because they'll say the word Jesus. They'll say the right words. They might even talk about the right doctrines. They'll actually be true about some things. But overall, and ultimately, it's a lie. Ultimately, it's self-serving. Ultimately, they're not concerned with the truth of the gospel itself, right? It contains elements of the gospel, but not the essence of it. And it's going to leave you wanting and away from the Lord. Do you understand? This is hard stuff. This is a warning that's going out there. Paul said, we're not peddlers, man, because there are so many of them. And you need to know that, that we're true to the word of God. You know these peddlers. You know these people. Oftentimes they seem bold. And there's a humble boldness in Christ and amen. And that's cool. That's great. But a lot of these peddlers, you can tell, they're bold. Right? They're very bold. And they're not humble before. They're not humbled at what they have, at what they're called to do, of what they're possessing in their hands. There's no humility and fear of God in their eyes. You see them. You'll hear them. You're going to see a couple in just a minute. We are going to, we usually don't play little clips, but we're going to play a couple of clips this morning. They're confident, not in the Lord, but in themselves. They're not dependent upon the Lord. They're brash, not reverent. They're popular, influential, entertaining, captivating, and you want to believe them, and so many people do. Okay? Paul says there's peddlers. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They devour. They look like sheep. Why? Because they kill the sheep, take the sheep, put on their clothing. That's why. Scripture's replete. We could be up here all morning, all day, because the Bible continually, constantly warns us, because we're so susceptible. Because we want to believe a lot of what these guys are selling, don't we? So we're susceptible to it. So the Bible warns us throughout to be careful. I'm just going to do five passages real quick. Check them out. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus says the Lord, don't listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. Right? They make these empty promises to you. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. How do you know that? Because you compare it with the word and what it actually says. Matthew 7, Jesus says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly are ravenous wolves. And they look good on the outside, and they'll say the name of Jesus, and they'll use terminology that's familiar to us, and they'll make promises to you if you give them something in return. The gospel's free, man. Never, ever. If you have to give something in order to get the gospel or the message of Christianity, run away. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from a thorn bush or figs from thistles? The third passage, Acts, Paul is warning the church, I think at Ephesus. And he says, it's at Ephesus. He says, I know after my departure, when I leave from you guys, guess what? Fierce wolves will come in among you. So they're not just out there, man. They're right here. They're inside. They're inside the church. They're going to come among, not sparing the flock. You think they love you, but they don't. They're going to devour you and ultimately lead you away from the truth and from Christ. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. 1 Timothy 6, if anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil, suspicion. So if you see these kinds of things, you know that it's off track, off scripture, in constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and depraved of the truth, deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. And then I think one more. 2 Peter 2, false prophets also arose among those people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So I'm doing this, and we're going to look at a few videos. I'm just putting it out there because this is what you need to know. You need to be warned. You might like some of these people, you might go, but I'm telling you right now, Paul says, here, these are peddlers. They're peddlers because they want what you have to enrich themselves. And they're not giving you what you need in terms of Christ. And this, I wasn't trying to just to pick out a certain few. There are many, many, many. We could be here all afternoon. Be a cool exercise to do, but you don't have that time, and neither do I. So let's check out these few. It's about 5 minutes long or 6 minutes long, so just check it out.
3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you might prosper in every way, and that your body might keep well, even as I know your soul prospers and keeps well." So we see right there that God wants us to be healthy. Can everybody say, God wants me to be healthy?
This is not a theological statement. This is not a doctrinal statement. It's not a statement of teaching. It's not a didactic, not a teaching statement. It's simply a common greeting to a letter. Nothing more and nothing less. And the faith preachers know it. But they don't want you to know it because it just happens to fit their theology. And they are counting on their followers and their listeners being biblically illiterate so that they can fall for their schemes. These people are charlatans.
Do I believe that God wants to bless us? Yes.
Well, when you go to the conferences, you ask people to give money. So
sure.
You say, do it cheerfully.
Yep.
Because
the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. See, giving is a major part of the whole Christian doctrine.
But do you believe that if someone gives money to the ministry,
right,
that more will come back to them?
Yes. Absolutely.
I think that's what they mean by prosperity gospel.
Yes.
No, but do you worry at all that sometimes your message will be heard by someone in the most dire circumstances? This is sort of roulette wheel, a sort of gamble with God. Okay, well, I can't pay the rent, but I'll give it to Joyce and we'll see what happens. Do you worry at all that happens?
I totally know. I don't worry about that.
Joyce Meyer says, I totally don't worry about that. Well, I'm sure she doesn't, but she should. Because right now, even as we speak, there are thousands of people all around the world who are watching TBN and Daystar and Lasea Broadcasting and the Word Network and all these things. And they are hearing this endless drivel of saying, you send us your money and God will give you a harvest. And there are people at home, they are poor, they are sick, they are desperate, they have sick children. And so in desperation, they get out their checkbook or they get out their credit card and they send in money to these multi-millionaire preachers who fly in private jets and who live in multi-million dollar homes. Jesse Duplantis, for example, lives in a 35,000 square foot parsonage. But when your wealth is gained off of preying upon the hopes and fears of hurting and sick and desperate people, there's a lot wrong with that. When your wealth is gained off of distorting the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's a lot wrong with that.
Right here, to give that same amount. If God is speaking to you to sow $1,000 seeds tonight, I want to lay hands on your envelope as you bring it forward. I'm going to ask the Lord to do something miraculous tonight, to release a harvest in the next 90 days. I believe God Almighty will do it in your life. He has done it many times before. He'll do it again. God Almighty is speaking to you right now to sow that seed. Now, precious people, I do not want you passing offering buckets. I want the people to bring their seed to me and put it in my hand, because the anointing of God is on me right now. If you put it in that bucket, you're going to lose it. But if you put it in my hand, you're going to gain something from heaven tonight. Everybody lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on, right now. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. I want many of you to start walking forward. If you're giving 1,000, 500, or 100, start coming down. Right now, come on. I want to lay my hand on your envelope. I want to lay my hand on your envelope. I want to ask God to prosper you tonight. You in your homes, keep calling that number on the screen and do the same thing. And I will lay my hand on your name when you call it in. Right now, call that number on the screen. I'm believing God for a release of a harvest tonight on you. I'm believing God to bless your life, bless your future, bless your home with prosperity, divine prosperity. People of God, can we lift our hands and pray in the Spirit right now? Come on, everyone, lift your voices and pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, I give you praise for the anointing. Jesus, Jesus, I give you praise for the anointing. Get to your phone. Call in your seed right now. Whether 1,000, 500, or 100, do it now. God is speaking to you. I'm asking for those amounts because I want to see your faith released tonight. When you sow larger amounts, you release faith. And when faith is released, God Almighty will release the harvest. That's just the way it works, people. That's the way it works. While the people here in this audience are coming down, you go ahead and call that number on the screen. Do it now. Believe God for a supernatural harvest right now. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, I give you.
Reverend Peter Popoff wants you to know that God can reverse every negative verdict in your life. You don't have to live a life sentence of lack and defeat. You can be free to enjoy all of God's richest blessings. That's why he wants to send you your free packet of Miracle Spring Water, your point of contact for the miracle you need, now in a larger size.
I had been in two car accidents, and the doctors kept saying, well, here, you got to take painkillers. I used your Miracle Spring Water, and it's gone.
The banks had told me that I could not get another home. I prayed, I believed, I followed every instruction, and on May 26th, we closed on our dream home.
Stop settling on less and reach for God's best. God is a God of more, and now there's more Miracle Spring Water in a new, larger packet.
You have sent me the water, and I use it. You told me I was going to get a check for $7,000. Sure enough, I got a check in the mail. It was exactly $7,000.
Another check for $4,700 for me to move to New York City. Glory to God. Supernatural wealth transfer.
I will send you the Miracle Spring Water. I'll send you the instructions. I'll tell you how to use it to see total victory in every area of your life.
Act now. Call the number on your screen today and get your free packet of Miracle Spring Water.
Isn't it amazing to see what God is doing?
We can go on all day. And I'm not kidding you. I'm not teasing. I want to laugh, and it is funny, but it's sad. It's not funny. This is what they did. This is how Paul, when Paul says, we're not like so many peddlers. You see, peddlers. And let's just tie it. There's so many. These are more outright peddlers. In a couple of weeks, we'll talk about another kind of deception in the church. But understand this. This is what people do. And we laugh. But you know how many millions, not thousands, millions of people actually give their money, actually do this. I mean, we say, how could you do that? But look at the ministry. Thousands of people, millions of people giving their money. Why? Because they play on your fears. And they use the authority of the word, right, to gain from it. How? The judgment that they're going to face before the Lord, right? They play on people's fear. You know, I'm desperate. I'm in a desperate situation financially. I'm sick. Maybe this will help. Maybe this will do it, right? But they also play on people's greed, right? Because we're greedy too. Because just like if you go gambling, you give a little bit, you hope to get a lot back. You give a little bit, hope to give a lot back. What's $100 if I could reap a harvest, you know, of $2,000, right? So that's the idea. So you need to be careful because they're out there. These are more obvious ones, but people fall for this every single day. These are charlatans. This is what Paul says. We're not peddlers like these guys. We're not, this is what we're doing. We're promising something we can't deliver. But Paul says this, and this is where we need to look to. You need to look to, and you need to be as well. Paul says, but we are men of sincerity. We're men of sincerity. Commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Amen? Men of sincerity. You know what that means? That means clarity. That means integrity. That means purity. That's what that word means, men of sincerity. No hidden motives, no agendas, no ideologies, not concerned with gaining a following or power or prestige or riches, or filling up your church, or doing this, or doing the other thing. It's just straight gospel preaching. It's simply devoted to the truth of the gospel. Being true to our calling in Christ and depending on Him alone. That's what it means to be sincere and sincere in Christ. Right? So tempting to go the other way. You know, you can grow your church by 50% if you just do this. You can get 30% more if you just do this, if you just do that. And that is tempting. Hey, you know, it's a good cause. We want more people to know about the Lord. It's a trick. It's a trap. It takes your eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ. I worked in marketing for years. That was my degree in advertising. I know the tricks. I know what people do to gain business. That's fine in the world, but there's no place for that in the church. Right? We preach it. It's the Lord's work. We're depending on Him. We don't come in our own name, our own prestige, our own reputation in that way. We come in His authority. That's what Paul is saying. We come in His name. We represent Him. We're given the privilege and the honor of bringing forth His word. We're given the privilege and honor of ministering in His name. Do you know that? If you're a Christian, it's a privilege and an honor to call yourself a Christian and to minister in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you do with that? So much of the time we just put it off to the side, or we take it for, and we don't even get it, or we misrepresent the Lord. Christians, there's depth to that. We're constrained by His word. We don't have a right to deviate from it. We don't have a right to water it down. We don't have a right to make it, you know, say something that it doesn't say, or say it in another way that doesn't really bring the full force of the word. We talk to people. We don't want to tell them that they're dead in their trespasses and sins and they're going to hell apart from Christ. We don't want to do that. We want to say everybody makes mistakes and God has a great plan for your life, right? That's what we want to do. But the Bible, we're constrained by the Word of God to tell the truth because that's what people need to hear. That's how the Holy Spirit works through that. We don't have a right to change it up. We don't have a right to deviate from it. We don't have a right to twist it or misuse it for our own purposes. We're not peddlers of God's Word. Verse 17b, the second part. We're men of sincerity, commissioned by God. And here it is. In the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Do you know that? In the sight of God, you speak in Christ. In the sight of God, you minister in the Lord Jesus Christ. The peddlers forget this, right? Or they may not believe it, that God sees, that they're doing it before the face of God. Or they know it and they do it anyway. That's my suspicion. That's what the peddlers do. But you're different, and we're different. We, the people that truly love the Lord, ministering for Him, preachers, ministers, Christians who love the Lord, teachers, in many ways, this is the source of our reverence and godly fear. Do you know that? Do you know that you stand before the face of God, that you're ministering in His name, right? And that we, like Paul, this is a very scary proposition. We do it in the sight of God. We speak in Christ. In the sight of God. In the sight of God.